cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Freedom Day. My name is Rory Shabalala, and this is Cliff Central. Just so you know, in case you aren't aware, Cliff Central has been nationalized. these are the fruits of freedom, after all, and this is what we are celebrating. So I am now Gareth Cliff. And as you will hear in studio, we've got an all-black team.
Yeah.
I will, however, tell you that we decided to keep some parts of the station the same. We have retained adult supervision in the name of Damon. Is Damon there? Damon is still moping because Gareth is not here, but that's okay. Anyway, my name is Rory, and I'm here with Jack Mutlante. Jack, say hi.
Hi.
Jack, is that all?
You said say hi, so I just said hi.
How are you feeling this Freedom Day, Jack?
You know what? Freedom Day, to be honest, this year started off a little bit bumpy.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm not used to being up this early in the morning.
Mm, it's the day after the weekend before, is it?
Yes. I was at a wedding.
Mm.
This morning.
You want to elaborate this morning?
Yeah, I'm not going to say last night because it was this morning. Like, we left this morning. I think we left at about 3:30.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't be sure exactly what the time was. I was not exactly sober. So, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting scenario Jack has, because if you visit the studio and you get into parking, you will find a car that is full of young black men sleeping.
Sleeping.
Amongst all of them.
There's a black woman in there.
There's a black woman somewhere in there.
Yeah, if you look hard enough, you'll find a black woman in there. Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's Freedom Day for you. That is how the youth of this country are starting off their Freedom Day.
I feel like you're blaming me.
No, I'm not blaming you. Nor am I judging you, my friend. To each his own. To each his own.
Yeah.
However, today we've got a very, very cool show lined up. We really just want to. It's a bit heavy, as Freedom Day always is. You have to reflect. You can't speak about freedom without speaking about why. You know, what are you free from? So we will be going back. We will be discussing some of these issues. We will also be trying to find out, you know, we felt that, you know, every other radio station, or let's say every radio station, is going to have some boring politician on there, maybe an analyst, maybe, you know, it will have all of these different things. But what it won't have is it generally doesn't have the thoughts and the views of ordinary South Africans that actually have to make this freedom thing work. So today we said we're going to take an unspun, unfluffy, unpolitician view on Freedom Day and just speak to ordinary South Africans, young South Africans at that, who are trying to make sense of this freedom and trying to actually live together and share in the shade of the tree of freedom, as one of our recent guests said.
Share in the shade of the tree of freedom. Okay.
This is a man called
Was it Mzwakhe Mbuli? Sounds like
No. It was actually Seth Mazibuko. Seth Mazibuko
was one of,
if not the youngest political prisoner on Robben Island.
I remember it was on the Konza show.
Yeah. And you know, I heard him speak before, and he said these are the words that he said in a very Mzwakhe Mbuli kind of style. He said, you know, young people, we watered the tree of freedom with our blood. Mm. You no longer have to water that tree with your blood. Water it instead with your sweat.
Your sweat.
Hard work. hard labor. I said, you know, don't bring your blood into it. We did enough of that. We watered it with our blood. Now it's time for you to water it with your sweat. So what that implies is that freedom is hard work. It's not just going to grow. It's we're gonna have to really pull up our sleeves and get to it. Today on the show we've got good friend Komotso Ntuli. I don't call him that, but We won't. Kumoto, would you like us to? Should we share with wonderful South Africans? It's Freedom Day. Let's be free. Let's.
I think let's keep it to freedom. Stuff we'll talk about it some other time.
You see, he's got one of those deep African revolutionary accents. And that's exactly why I wanted him here today, because I wanted to get a view. Kumoto, you spend a lot of time in the new towns of this world. You spend a lot of time with what we call African brothers. You just came back from Mozambique as well. Just tell us a little bit. What were you doing? Who sent you? Did any South African send you to Mozambique? What were you going to do there?
Did any South African send me to Mozambique? Well, it's to say who sent me there is one does quite a bit of work there and there. So essentially, I'm with a team called 350.org. It's a story for another day. But safe to say that it was good to be in Mozambique. Brothers and sisters are quite humbled. Actually, one of the most humbling moments whilst one was there was to hear a band playing, and whilst they were playing, they actually played the South African national anthem.
Wow.
in the face of all of this.
Wow.
It just makes you think as to what does all of these things mean for people.
So you're part of 350.org. They do climate change, don't they?
Yeah.
My goodness. Where Jack? I don't know, man. You grew up in revolutionary, in the shadows of revolutionaries. Were they discussing climate? Does the Freedom Charter have climate change in it?
Look, I will not lie. I'm not even going to try and make this up. There was no such.
So these are the fruits of freedom. This tree is producing fruits. We've got revolutionaries involved in climate change.
Yeah, explaining to you, Jorge, you need to drive a better car. Get a what do they call those cars?
Prius. Yes.
Get a Prius. Get a hybrid instead of just driving your gas guzzling car all over the place.
My goodness, these are the fruits of freedom, man.
Yeah, I must admit, this fruit doesn't taste that nice, though, as far as gas guzzlers are concerned, because I've driven a Prius before. It's not that much fun.
So tell us a little bit more, Kumoto. So apart from your goings on in climate change, just tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do on a daily basis? I know you've never had a 9-to-5. You were useless at the last 9-to-5 you had, because I spent a lot of time with you at it. But just tell us then, since you're not doing 9-to-5 now, you're doing things called Bush Dialogues and so on.
Yeah.
Who are you? Why do you spend so much time in Newtown with all sorts of shady characters?
Well, Rustang, I think that's always been the most difficult question to answer. But I think Kumoto is essentially a South African that's concerned about one or two things. Also celebrating a number of things about our country. It's a much better country. I haven't really lived back in those days when people were saying all sorts of things. But from the bit that I've read and the people that I've engaged with on this and that, I'm using the word engaged, sound like a politician. I'm trying not to sound like a politician.
Please save us.
But from the bit that one has spoken about with people, you get to realize that as a South African, we're living in a much better place. For me, it's to say, how far can we take this forward? You know, you guys are mentioning Seth Mazibuko when he's talking about the tree that will bear something. And I'm reminded of Solomon Mahlangu when he said, "My blood will nourish the tree that will bear the fruits of freedom." And I think that's the question that we're trying to answer here, or that's the question we're trying to talk about, as to what do we mean about this freedom? What is this freedom? Whose freedom? What's happening? There has been quite a bit of change. There has been a lot of things that are much better. But there's also been a few things that have not changed much. So my interests stem much from that issue as to, is this where we should be? Is this where the average South African should be? And
you're theorizing. I asked you who are you and what do you do, and you start telling me about trees of freedom and so on. Do you have a problem answering just a simple question in a very simple way? Is that, or is that not what what your sword do?
Well, Jack, I think it's
look,
interesting to just share this.
Like, yeah.
You know, Rorusang,
let's actually leave him out of the conversation. I don't think he likes you too much.
No, he
just
doesn't.
Called you useless. So I don't think you're useless at all. I think you've got a couple of things that you need to get off your chest.
Yeah.
And this is the time to do it. Here we go.
No, I mean, I think Rorusang essentially is trying to be technical about it, to say, this is the question I'm asking you, this is the answer.
Yeah, you know? He was looking for a specific answer.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't do that, Rorusang. Let's give the man a chance.
I think let's take it on his terms also. But he mentioned Bush Dialogues. And Bush Dialogues is a platform that has been quite dear to me.
Yeah.
It's a platform that I came up with a while back, around 2012. And simply put, I was essentially looking at how we engage as young South Africans about issues. And first of all, there's quite a bit of apathy. And when we do engage, there's just extremes. There's those who feel like, yeah, everything is good, Rainbow Nation and everything. And then there's those who are like, ah, nothing is happening. So one was trying to find out as to what's the middle ground on this whole thing. Is there a place for young South Africans to engage on issues? And I was like, okay, Bush Dialogues. Let's say one found themselves in a place where there wasn't set rules, signs and everything, and feel like you're in a bush and you have the capacity or the place to put new rules or whatever it is that you choose to call it.
Yeah.
And that was the concept of the bush. It's not always as easy to put it across, but that's the concept. And we've had a number of issues. We've spoken about how this constitutional democracy of ours works, how religious differences, I mean, one of the things that pops to my mind is the fact that we have a president
mm-hmm.
that has a number of wives.
Yes.
And a lot of people will question that. And my premise has always been that, but it's in your constitution. You know, this guy can do this. Mr. President can have as many wives because he's umZulu. And it's part of his culture, it's part of his tradition, and they do that, you know. So there's nothing wrong with it. But our country has questioned that in a lot of cases. So when people critique our president, they'll be like, Mr. President, why do you have so many wives? Doesn't that trample on the rights of women and few things like those?
You mentioned this democracy thing, and there's a thought. I won't say it's my thought, but there's a thought that democracy is actually just messed us up. Do you think democracy was a good idea? I mean, there are people who've spoken about benevolent dictators. I mean, think about it. Let's just think about it. So you run an organization, Jack. You've been involved in organizations. We've been raised in families. Was there democracy when you were growing up in your household, though, Jack? Did your dad get everybody's view, then get a vote on it, and then say,
no,
this is the way we're going? Is that any way to raise a family, Jack?
Here's what I'm saying, though. Look, in my family, my father tried to establish a dictatorship, but my grandmother said no.
She was the ultimate dictator. That's the thing.
She was the ultimate dictator in enforcing some form of democracy.
Yeah.
But I was not raised that way. I grew up with my gran as the ultimate, like, she was the higher power.
Right.
In the family.
Right.
Like, if you wanted to veto anything my dad said, you had to go straight to my
right
grand.
To her. Exactly.
Yeah.
But is that not what we should be doing in South Africa? Should we maybe not have like a king who vetoes everything that the president does? How would that have helped us with Guptagate? You know, just to have a king that we can go to and say, talk to your guy.
Hey.
Talk to your guy. That's what England has. Has democracy messed us up?
Well, let's just talk about the king issue first of all.
I don't think that's a good idea. I'm sorry, I couldn't keep it in. Komuzo, I'm sorry. Having a king in this country? What if he likes Jacob?
We've got a
Jacob
king in this country that likes Jacob. You saw what happened.
And you saw what happened. I was at a Zulu wedding yesterday. I was scared for my life.
Oh my goodness. I'm serious.
I thought they were going to ask me what my elbow is in Zulu. And I was like, itolo elingani. you know.
And let's my friend, I love you, man. I love you. But I could see an argument about, hey, lomfana man, upuma kuphi? Ndoda wozala. Where are you from exactly? Are you
is Thakazelo Sakhini's teen?
Sitting, you see.
Funguas.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm glad you're here. I
made it out with, you know, just the skin on my nose, man. Oh, it was a close call, but you know that for me, the idea of a king does not work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if we were to have a looking at South Africa, now I feel as if almost, well, not all, but a lot of the people that were elected to be in power, a lot of them have misused that power.
Yeah.
I think democracy in this country would have worked if the implementation of the laws was done taken as seriously as it should have been.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? That's just my personal view. I don't know. Do you agree, Komato?
I mean, what you're saying makes absolute sense, Jack. I think it's a perennial argument around the laws and the implementation.
Yeah.
You know? So the question, I mean, it's simply put, it's quite easy to put down a number of laws. There's people who will talk about the fact that our constitution is taken from whichever place in the world, and this and that. And the point is that it's not as difficult a job. You can get a few great minds to put that down, and this is the constitution. Then the implementation is the actual issue. So when we say that there's good laws, but the implementation is the issue, I start wondering, like, do we have the laws and then a separate issue that's being implementation?
Komoto, you're theorizing. Just help me here, man.
Yeah.
Was democracy a good idea? Was it too soon? Did we not need a period of just stabilizing somebody with a 20-year vision who drove us to this point and then said, all right, okay, now you guys are stable. Now I can sort of start to give you democracy. Because, you know, you don't raise a family with all these multitude of ideas and so on. Imagine where we'd all be if our dads all had to. I mean, my dad would have been outvoted so many times.
Yeah.
Was it a good idea?
Democracy is an important issue. So you talk about benevolent dictatorship, and so the question is, who runs the show with that? You have a guy that you trust so much and you believe will take our country somewhere, and you give him this 20 years to prove himself. You're not sure whether he's going to do that or not. So for me, I don't think that democracy anywhere in the world is the best idea. I don't necessarily think that. But I know that of the lot, democracy is the least crazy concept around governance. Is that the way to put it, Jack?
Least crazy
concept?
Yeah.
But it's a very good concept. That allows you to say that whatever we're doing as government is the views of the people, in inverted commas. You know how we go around with the people.
Yeah.
But essentially, you need to, I mean, when you govern as a leader or as a government, you are doing what people want you to do. You can be that leader that is Rorisang, who is a dictator, as he's mentioning about what he's going to do in his house.
Mine is going to be a dictatorship. I don't want to lie to you.
Yours is going to be a dictatorship.
There's not going to be a five-year-old determining what supper is going to be. Can you imagine what we're going to eat for supper?
Yeah.
But it's seldom that crazy. What you have is you say that people can vote when they are a particular age. And the premise with that is that you give them some time to grow and understand one or two things. And what you're saying is at the age, what age do we vote again?
18.
18. And you're saying that at 18, that's where a person, they can decide on this and that. This is good. This is bad. And so that happens at that age. It doesn't always happen at that age. It doesn't even happen at my age, or Rusang's age, 40 or something.
Rory is a fossil. Don't worry. Let's leave his age out of this.
I haven't seen this guy in a while, and I just saw him, and I was like, wow. This guy's old, man.
The first time I met Rory, I was like, you know what? You age gracefully. You are a really old young man.
I'm not even going to justify that with a response. We start today off the premise that apartheid was wrong, right?
Yeah,
so we begin the day, apartheid was wrong. It did a piece of work on black people. It did piece of work on their minds, on their bodies, and even just on their entire psychology. But we also take it off the premise that apartheid did a lot of work on white people, right? It really shaped their minds in a way that is perhaps not helpful moving forward. Now, if you go to the Union Buildings today, you'll see a lot of black people on those lawns celebrating what is supposedly Freedom Day.
Yeah.
A lot of them have been bussed in, and they are the poor that everybody speaks about and says they're unhappy, but they're there. They're celebrating Freedom Day.
Yeah.
Those who live in air-conditioned homes and so on are not on the lawns of the Union Buildings. White people are not on the lawns of the Union Buildings. Whose Freedom Day is this exactly? I'm a little confused. Who's celebrating freedom exactly?
I think that's probably the most trickiest question we'll answer on this show. And again, thanks very much for inviting me to the show. It's quite humbling to just engage with a few
like, after 28 minutes.
Like 28 minutes, you want to
20 minutes, eight, 28 minutes.
Hey, you guys going, made this Comedy Central, and then I joined the show. And
hey, keep it going. Don't thank us. Just keep it going.
Let's go. Yeah.
But whose freedom is it? There's an idea of born freeze. I think we can use that as like a route to towards answering the question.
Yeah, well, Jack is a born free. Ask him.
Excuse you. No, I am not.
Oh,
okay.
And I'm 40.
I'm sorry. I watched Bob TV. I am not a born free. Thank you. I was alive when
you're
TV
disturbing.
Came to an end. You
you're
remember
disturbing.
That?
You're disturbing Komoto. Can
okay,
Komoto
I'm sorry.
Just finish his thought.
No, but you couldn't call me a born free and get away with it. I'm not a born free. Okay.
Well, I think the question is, whose freedom? It's, let's say, democratic South Africa. So there's a good idea of democratic South Africa, and there's a question about what you mean when you say freedom. The freedom to vote, the freedom to be who you are. I mean, in writing, we have some good laws. I mean, that one we have to agree on. We've got some good laws that allow us equality before the law. We can't miss the fact that black people are now looked at. Whether it happens in reality for a lot of black people, it's a bit secondary for now. But you have those ideas that black people are equal. There's no longer that idea that white people are superior, which was very much entrenched. A lot of white people still believe this whole idea. I meet a lot of good people, both black, white, women, and all sorts. And there's respect for human beings. So I think that speaks to freedom. So you are free to be who you are. But if we're talking about freedom stemming from an economic point of view, not as many people are as free as we would like to be.
I actually feel like a large part of this country was shortchanged as far as freedom is concerned. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
At this point in time, the people that are celebrating Freedom Day, as Rory said, a lot of black people do not have the actual freedom that they were promised in the beginning. Because when you think about it, if you are told that you are free and you can do as you please, whenever you please, and you don't have the money to do so, I think it's somewhat less, it's a lesser freedom you know, what was there before.
But it still goes to the question, Jack. most of the people that are on the lawns, the union buildings, are the people you say have been shortchanged. They're out there celebrating. So I'm still asking, what are they out there celebrating? Me and you and all of our friends are all sleeping. They couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, I'm
they
not
couldn't.
Sleeping. I'm here.
Well, you're here. You're here. But you would be sleeping, right? Or drinking or whatever else. But the people who have been shortchanged are out on the lawns celebrating. What are they celebrating?
I was recently at a picket at the Department of Agriculture, and it was about a policy that's being put across, and there wasn't adequate public participation. As we were at the picket, there was music, obviously. There's always been music where black people gather and will dance. Whether we are here about struggle or what, we'll just dance. So when you go to those places, there'll be a t-shirt, there'll be some food, and people will dance. One part of it is that we're celebrating our mother, that is the ANC. Unfortunate as it is to see a few things that are not going as well as they should with the ANC, but we still celebrate. When people are called together, it will be a celebration. So it's an opportunity. It's a holiday. I don't think that in totality, in its fullest sense, people are
going there for free food and to dance.
Not really, you know. But I don't think that our people feel that this is as free as we should have been. I think freedom for me is to look at what the well-off person in this country eats, what the well-off person in this country travels through. Some people have got the most convenient means of travel, and some people have got the worst. You know how metro rail goes, Gailo and all of that stuff. People will take a long time to get where they want to get. Eventually they'll get to union buildings and then they'll have that enjoyable moment. So I really, really don't think that it's as free as it is. People that are go union buildings, there's a lot of us who are there to have a good time. It's a holiday. Let's have a good moment. Yeah. There's a lot of young people who are going to be drinking, who are going to be doing all sorts of nice things. It's a holiday. Is it about the actual freedom? A bit of a question.
That raises a question for me, Komotso, on whether, you know, the United States has become very good at commercializing these holidays.
Yeah.
And as a result, their spirit lives on.
Mm.
Do you think we should be seeing a commercialization of Freedom Day, getting all the retailers to get excited about it? Will that get people in the spirit? Because it might then, they're just out to make money, but they use the messages of that time. If you look at Thanksgiving, for example, in the United States, they use the Thanksgiving theme to sell, but everybody remembers, oh, it's a time to give thanks and so on. Should we be seeing the retailers getting in on this and commercializing it? Do you think then we'll get to really get it?
Not necessarily. I don't think that we'll necessarily get it from there. I do, however, think that there has to be a conscientization process. Does that sound like a crazy word? A big word?
It's a very big word. I'm actually waiting for you to elaborate catch up.
I gave up when this guy started speaking in Venek. I was like, it's Freedom Day. So clearly, clearly we're now a multilingual station.
Yeah. There we go.
Look out for the subtitles in the podcast.
Do we only speak one language in the station?
No. I was like,
Express yourself. Yeah. You are here to express yourself. All I'm saying is, please elaborate, so I don't feel as stupid as I do right
Jack,
now.
But Jack, he said Gailo. First, let's let's elaborate on Gailo first, and then
Rusang is from Pretoria.
Yeah.
They coined that term.
They did. Okay, for all of our not so Pretoria listeners, Gailo is a tray.
Yes.
Yeah. Metro Rail, a.k.a. Gailo.
Not Gautrain. Gautrain.
Gautrain will never be called Gailo.
No, never.
Because a lot of us won't get on it.
You'll be chucked out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't call it the Gailo. We are talking about Metro Rail here.
Wait. You guys are sidetracking. It's this guy. So, for me, this whole concept of freedom is a little bit problematic.
Yeah.
And I think it touches on what you said earlier. We've got political freedom, but we seem to confuse the right to vote with economic freedom and
yeah.
the right to determine your own destiny. How do we move forward in this? So we've spoken about this, and you've kept it very theoretical, but on a practical level, you know, how do we start to, you know, we have to find a way of taking the freedom that we has been handed over to us by the past generation and actually doing something positive with it.
Yeah.
How do we do that? I know that you've got a particular pet peeve with white liberals and so on.
Yeah.
How do we, you know, tell us a little bit about that pet peeve, but then how do we build something more with them? They're part of this country. So how do we all work together to build or take the freedom forward?
I think I like the last part of what you're saying. How do we work together? And we've taken that as a secondary idea that we need to work together. Jack, you mentioned on this earlier on that for a lot of people, there's been freedom, but they haven't really seen it.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't had a piece of that peace process that we started long ago. So essentially what you have is a lot of people feel that whole thing, but a lot of people just don't feel it. For me, I am still a young person, quite very young, and I've went through school and this and that. Simply put, if I was white right now, I'd be doing much better than a whole lot of young black people who are where I am right now.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is not some obscure concept or abstract thing. It's very practical. There are structural issues that still remain. You have a lot of black people that live very far from where they work.
Yeah.
That live very far from where they go to school. That go to school and have debt when they get to work. You know, these are just two of the things that we need to think about when we say that people are free. I'm well aware, Roro, that you mentioned that this is becoming a bit theoretical. But the point I'm trying to bring across is that it's not as simple a concept as what we've been led to believe. It's really, really not. When you say that people are free, we need to see the larger majority of this country living okay lives, at the least. The fact that we are still a taxi nation is problematic for me. The fact that you still have a lot of black people getting up close to 2 hours before going to work, before getting to work, that is, and then they eventually get to work. They spend so much money. That money that they spend on transport takes a chunk of their disposable income. And then, well, they are working. They are free to walk the streets of Johannesburg. They are no longer chased to the paving this is a road that you can't walk on, this you can walk on. None of that. But essentially, the critique of freedom has been around, do you have the right to do this? Do you not have the right to do this? My premise is, the issue is money. The issue is money. It's not some right to do this and that. It's the question of, are people able to do that which an average South African should be able to do?
So, Komotso, there's a finite amount of money.
Yeah.
And resource within this country.
Yes.
So how do we fix that very quickly? Should we take away from the rich and give to the poor? Like literally, should we raid the bank accounts? Should we just take the land? You know, how do you see us fixing that problem?
I think the privileged, those who are privileged from back then, should play an essential role in helping those who have not been there. I'll put this as a simple idea. The question is, what is the role of a person who lives in Sandton and works in Rivonia or wherever? When they look at a person who lives in Alex, there's just massive poverty in that place.
Yeah, I was there on Saturday. It's bad.
Yeah, man. So I think we need to contribute. We could, each person, or there could be a fund that's worked around for people to go to school, the least. a person could actively contribute towards the upliftment of people. What I've done in the short space of time that I've been able to, I've been conscious of mentoring a number of people. I've got a keen interest in the gender debate. I think, Rusang, you know the stuff. And what I've looked at is we need to be active in this. It's not adequate for our average white people who were very privileged from apartheid days. And the privilege still remains. It will remain for a long time.
Yeah.
Very long time. But this is not limited to only white people. You have a growing middle class that is becoming quite desensitized on the condition of your average black person. And you'll hear things like, yeah, but it's no longer that bad and all of this, you know. So I think all of us should actively engage, whether this means working with an NGO that seeks to uplift people who want to go to school, whether this means taking a child to school. But the issue is active engagement, not this passive thing about, yeah, it's freedom. I'll just smile at a person. I'll just laugh at a person. I'll just engage with a person. That doesn't really work for me. The fact that we'll get into a bus together and then what, it's very, very secondary. We need to all actively work on this. If there's a child, we need to think about poor people from a point of view that says, this is a human being. Under ideal conditions, if everything was okay in this country, this person would be living as I am living. Let's ask the question, why is this person living like that? And that will be the premise for me.
Ah, all right, man. I hear you. We've actually got a comment here from WeChat from Jason Thorpe. And he says, we should start with education.
Yeah.
I think... I'm compelled to agree with him on that one, because a lot of us, taking it from a black person's perspective who grew up in Soweto and who was in Alex this past Saturday. Oh my God, that place. Anyway,
you sound like a tourist, Jack.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, when it comes to the living standard.
Yeah.
In Alex, I feel like there's so many people in such a small, confined place. Like, yeah. When you look at, I was mentioning this to a friend of mine over the weekend, Jorge, it's very interesting when you look at the way Soweto and places like Alex are built. Because In the space of maybe what would usually take up two or, 1 yard in a, not urban, but a more... upper class.
Next to where we are right now.
Yeah, close to where we are right now. 1 yard here is close to 3 or 5.
Yeah.
In the neighborhood, like Kukasi type thing. And because we live on top of one another that way, we have got so much more to deal with in terms of our day-to-day experience. And when you look at some of the things that are happening within the neighborhoods, your xenophobic attacks, you know, I know this is an American term, but black-on-black violence... those kind of things.
Yeah.
When you put all of those things into the mix, what is the actual solution? What do we do moving forward? Because a lot of people have forgotten the whole notion of the Rainbow Nation.
Yes.
You know? Mm. What if you, Komojo, were president of this country?
Yeah.
I know this is a pageant question.
Yeah.
But I really need to know. Like, if you were the president of this country, what would your vision be? How would you actually tie all of these things together? Never mind, let's put race out of it. Let's put class out. I'm just saying, though.
Yeah.
Like, how would you put it together moving forward?
There's a concept of local economic development. So the structure of our economy is essentially one where you have a lot of people going from back there at home, they'll travel however long and they'll get to the city where work is, where the money is produced. The premise for me is we need to decentralize the whole idea of where money is made. Johannesburg, as it is now, I mean, the city of Johannesburg is very, very problematic. A whole lot of people... What happened back then, where the migrant labor system, where people would go from Eastern Cape, go Mozambique, go Kaikai, and they'll come to Johannesburg, and that's where the money is. They live in this situation where there's not enough for everyone, and that so the concept still remains that this is where the money is. The premise for me is, let's take factories, simply put. You could have a number of factories in these townships, Kohai, wherever. You'll have factories, you'll have some forms of, like, fairly large businesses that will be able to have people going from home to work and back. This is in a space of about 10 minutes or something like that. Mm. This is where the money is produced. Other than that, the whole idea that you're going to go from here, go to that far off place, come back home, essentially that's what you're still remaining with. People from Alex will come to Sandton, people from Atteridgeville will come to Pretoria, will come to Johannesburg. There's nothing happening Kokohai, you know.
Mm. But you know, Kumazo, on that, were townships built to carry large industry? I mean, you've got narrow roads. I mean, Alex. Can you imagine a factory in Alex in all those roads and very narrow roads? The electricity was never meant to be sufficient for residential use, let alone industrial use. On top of that, we're load shedding half the time. You know, were they ever built? I mean, we struggle just with basic sewer issues and so on in the township.
Yeah.
What makes you think that industry could survive in a place like that?
I think if people set their minds to do something, they'll definitely do it. If you look at the train system, the recent Gautrain, what you're looking at is in the middle of Sandton. Sandton is not as spacious as you would like to have it. There's quite a bit of a whole lot of buildings that are together. Mm. But what you've managed to do is you've managed to dig such a tunnel to have the Gautrain running underground. So if you go to the Sandton station, Gautrain, you'll go right down.
Yeah.
This did not disturb anything when you were building it. Engineers and also people went down, built it. The point I'm trying to make is, if you set your mind to doing something, we can't use excuses around townships were not built to do this. Townships were meant to be a dumping site for a whole lot of black people who were supposed to be labor for the city.
Mm.
So I really do not agree with the idea that townships were not built to be this. There are sites that you can find where you can build factories, you can build places where people are able to work, people are able to make a living. I really do not go with the idea of townships being built for doing it. Just before I finish this part, I think an important part is, in as much as we know that townships were built to be a dumping site, we need to operate from that. Johannesburg was built for a few people, or any other city was built for a very small number of people. Do we say then that this place was built for a few people and there needs to remain that few people? Or do we say we need to expand this? We need to have buildings around this place, being cognizant that these are meant for a whole lot of people. This is 52 million people. You have a 13% of this country or less that enjoyed those spaces. So now that we have 100%, do we leave this place as it is? That's a question.
Yeah, you're good to go.
Kumozo.
Yeah.
We know we have to say goodbye to you now. You've got other revolutionary things to do on Freedom Day. If you read from the sacred texts, they say not all who dress in dashikis and say Amandla, Amandla will enter the promised land.
Yes.
What do you have to say about this? All these revolutionaries that are have entered the fray, and some call them yellow revolutionaries and so on. What do you have to say? Are these the people that are going to lead us to the promised land? Mm-hmm. Or does wearing a dashiki somehow endow me with revolutionary insight?
The whole idea of the dashiki is not as full as it seems. Mm-hmm. I wear dashikis in a lot of cases. I used to have dreadlocks, and I used to be considered this African guy and whatever. And it's a notion that I have steered away from. I do not disown my blackness. Mm. I love being a black human being. And I'm saying human being because there's also the idea of being black and being a man that gives you a number of privileges in a lot of cases. So I don't think for me to talk left, I mean, we have our leader who wears a lot of red things, who wore quite very expensive things. You know, he drives around in very nice things, got credit cards that run in the hundreds of thousands and all of that.
And so, a very huge tax bill.
Yeah, I mean, totally. To talk about this stuff, the question is, what do you do when you get that power? And it's always been difficult to measure that, because when he was still in the other party, the ANC, he used to speak around these things, challenge all sorts of people, and then went to the EFF, still talks those things, but there's this money business. So I really don't think that to speak these things, to wear a dashiki, is as simple as it looks, that it gives you the right to be this person. I think it's a lot of work beyond the looks of it, you know. I think I was mentioning this to someone just yesterday, to say, you know, there are people who tell ladies who wear the weave. Mm. Weave, kind of, what's the difference between weave and wig? Are they...
A weave is I'm not sure. A wig.
Rosanga knows it better.
Yeah, I think a wig you just put on top whenever you feel like you can just throw it on and off. But a weave is actually sewn into your hair type thing. But it's not as easy to take off.
Yeah,
I think wigs are easier to take off. Weaves are there for a little bit longer. I think that's the only difference I can think of.
Yeah, totally. So the point I'm making is that there are people who have dreadlocks. I mean, think about it as you speak about the dashiki and all of that. That there are people who have dreadlocks. There are people who do not straighten their hair. They don't do anything. We consider those people as the true or the natural black people, for example.
Yeah.
And then you have people who put on weaves, and then someone will be like, oh, why don't you love yourself? Why don't you have your hair naturally?
Well, Brahu refuses to take a photo with girls who've got weaves, for example.
I respect Ntate Hugh Masekela very much. I love his music. I love the stuff that he says. But I do not agree as much with the whole notion of the fact that I won't take... Well, it's a choice. He's much older than me. I have to respect what he's saying. But my view is, it's not as simple as that. The idea of a weave cannot encompass the whole person.
Mm.
If I choose to have an earring and you decide... I mean, aren't you reducing me to one small part of me?
Exactly.
I'm much bigger than that, you know.
True.
A human being can be much bigger than what they're wearing, what they have on their hair, on their tooth, or whatever, you know.
You have to be a lot more than your accessories. You have to be.
I think in another setting we'd talk about patriarchal notions of things. A conversation which I've touched on with my dear friend here.
Komoto, I know you don't like keeping African time of late. You used to be good at it. You hate it. And I know that you have to be somewhere else. But I just have to ask this question. So we've spoken about Freedom Day in the context of black and white. You mentioned gender.
Yeah.
And there was also a gender imbalance as a result of the past laws.
Yes.
How do we correct that? So from a black and white perspective, you've mentioned things like we need to see white people almost sharing resources, sharing knowledge and so on.
Yeah.
How do we help or how do men get it into their heads that they were also privileged by the system of apartheid, including black men like myself and Jack and you, we benefited from apartheid.
Yes.
So in as much as we say white people benefited, we need to also acknowledge that we are beneficiaries of that system. How do we move on from that and make sure that we instill a freedom that on a gender basis? I know you're a gender activist.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, there's an important point that you mentioned, Rory, that you need to acknowledge. There's little else that's as important as acknowledging. One of the most humbling moments was when I had a dialogue with a few students from the University of Johannesburg under the Bush Dialogues banner. And the lady stood up and said, I was raised by parents who did not like the concept, who did not agree with the concept of an inferior human being. But, or rather, my grandparents did not agree with it. My parents were a bit liberal. They were not as active around that issue. When I went to school, I realized that it was not the case. I was taught that I was superior and the other people are inferior. In that, she acknowledged that I was racist. For me, there's something very important. Men need to acknowledge that stuff first.
Yeah.
And then when we acknowledge it, we will not be talking about why do we have quotas? Why do we say that this station here, rather Cliff Central, has to have at least if it's four people, two of them should be women, two of them should be men.
Mm.
We are sitting in here right now. There's three men. There are a number of cases where you'll have, on average, men are a dominant group. The least we could do is to say, whatever show that we have, whatever business that we run, we need to have a certain number of women. It does not mean to say that the results will be better or whatever, but it's a very important notion. When you say that there has to be this number of, to some extent, it tells a young child from a rural area to say that, oh, there are a number of people like me. So it's fine, actually. I can work towards being on Cliff Central. It's just that view.
I hear you.
Cool stuff.
Well, thanks a lot, Kumutso, for joining us this morning.
Yeah.
We know that you were worshipping whatever gods might be with libation yesterday. So for you to wake up so early and to come and have a revolutionary conversation with us is a great honor, man. Thank you so much, and have yourself a lovely day. CliffCentral.com.